तच्छंयोरावृणीमहे गातुं यज्ञाय गातुं यज्ञपतये दैवी स्वस्तिरस्तु नः स्वस्तिर्मानुषेभ्यः ऊर्ध्वं जिगातु भेषजम् शं नो अस्तु द्विपदे शं चतुष्पदे ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ओ डिवाइन लॉर्ड वी प्रे एंड वर्शिप दी फॉर द वेल बीइंग ऑफ ऑल मे ऑल मिजरीज एंड शॉर्टकमिंग्स लीव अस फॉर एवर so that we may joyfully sing in your worship. In praise of you, we may joyfully sing. May the medicinal herbs grow in potency, so that diseases may be cured effectively. May the gods rain peace on us. May all human beings be happy. May all other beings be happy. May there be peace within us all. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings, and may there be peace everywhere in nature. Good morning. Today is somewhat different or special because after a year and a half of study of this work, Sadhana Panchakam, by Shankaracharya, we are going to conclude this study. There are 40 instructions, only two more are remaining, and we will complete those two instructions. 39th instruction. Prarabdham tviha bujyatam. A similar instruction had come before. In life, we are confronted with many and varied experiences, some good, some bad, some pleasant, some unpleasant. We have a little bit of freedom to deal with the situations, especially unpleasant situations. We have some freedom to take remedial measures. But from experience we know that we cannot remove all suffering from life. Some degree of suffering is inevitable in everybody's life, no matter who that person be. Now this suffering, which cannot be removed by harnessing any of the resources we have at our disposal, by taking any remedial measure that we can, that has to be endured. There is no choice. That suffering, whatever comes to us, even good things that come to us, good experiences, bad experiences that come to us in this life, is to be accounted for by prarabdha. Prarabdha means that part of our past karma which has begun to bear fruit now in this life. We have a lot of karma done in the past, some good, some bad. Is a mixture of good and bad things we have done. Some of it is bearing fruit in this life. Those impressions, that karma which is bearing fruit in this life, which has begun to bear fruit in this life, is called prarabdha karma, that which has begun to act, to bear fruit. In this 39th instruction, Shankara says, experience and exhaust prarabdha karma in this life. Whatever cannot be cured or reduced has to be experienced. There is no choice. One should learn to treat good and bad equanimously. One thing we can do, there are two things we can do. One thing is to try to take whatever remedial measures we can when we are faced with adversity. Depending on the nature of the problem, depending on what resources we have, we can try to solve the problem, reduce its intensity. then whatever remains, we have to endure. That discipline of calmly enduring what cannot be cured is a special name in Sanskrit. We are familiar with that. It's called titiksha. It's simply called forbearance. Forbearing or withstanding or going through without complaining or lamenting whatever difficulty cannot be prevented or solved. That discipline is called titiksha. We have talked about titiksha earlier on several occasions. In his work, Viveka Chudamani, Shankaracharya has defined titiksha nicely. Sahanam sarva dukkhanam apratikara purvakam. Sarva dukkhanam, all dukkha, all suffering, whatever comes to us, what cannot be solved, sahanam, bearing calmly, enduring it. How? Without complaining, without brooding. Chinta vilaparahitam. Chinta means brooding. Why this happened, or this happened, this happened. Or brooding about the future, what might happen, how bad it might become. Without doing that, just dealing with the present. Chinta rahitam, vilapa rahitam. Vilapa means lamentation. The more we talk about it, the more it seems to become intense, bigger. The problem seems to become bigger if we make it big by talking about it all the time, thinking about it all the time, brooding about it. So without doing brooding or lamentation, calmly enduring all the difficulties that come in our life, that is a very important discipline that we have to cultivate, that ability of forbearance. It's called forbearance, endurance. The second thing is, as we have been advised by Lord Sri Krishna many times in the Bhagavad Gita, to cultivate an attitude of equanimity towards everything in life, some good, some bad, some pleasant, some unpleasant, towards all these dualities of life, we have to develop, cultivate an equanimous attitude that stands us in good stead in all our, throughout our life. In many places in the Gita, Sri Krishna has said, notably in the second chapter, when Arjuna asked Sri Krishna, what are the qualities of a perfected soul? What does he or she do? How does he or she behave or react to situations in life? When asked that question, Sri Krishna gives a list of qualities. These are sthita prajna. Sthita prajna means a person whose awareness is firmly anchored in the self. Such a person, a perfect person, a jivan mukta, a liberated person, that person treats all situations alike. Dukheshu anudvigna manaha. Dukkha means in any kind of suffering. We have all kinds of suffering that come to us in our lives. Dukheshu, in all bad situations, painful situations in our life, anudvigna manaha, remaining without being too much disturbed, perturbed, or excited. Udvega means perturbance, losing balance of our mind, losing calmness of the mind. That's udvega. Anudvigna manaha means a person who maintains equipoise under all circumstances. Dukheshu, especially in bad times. When something is comfortable and nice, when you are enjoying good time, then we don't complain. There is no problem dealing with that. Though it could be a source of problem. Sukheshu vigatas prahaha. When we are having good times, everything is going for us in our favor. Vigatas prahaha. Without becoming greedy for more, or without becoming proud or arrogant. Because things may change in the twinkling of an eye. If everything is going nicely for us, comfortable in our favor, we should not assume that it will always be like that. It may change in the twinkling of an eye. The same thing in the case of bad situations too. This too shall pass and I shall bear it calmly. That maintaining a calm, equanimous attitude under all circumstances is a very important virtue that we have to try to cultivate. Sukha dukkhe same kritva. Sukha dukkha, happiness, unhappiness. Same kritva, treating them alike. Not becoming excited when something bad happens, not becoming dejected, depressed and sad, not becoming too much elated when something good happens. Sukha dukkhe same kritva. Sama means equal, equanimous. Labha alabhau. Labha means gain. Sometimes good things happen, we gain in business, we make a lot of profit some years, some quarters. Sometimes you lose. That's the nature of business, that's the nature of life in general. Labha alabhau same kritva, remaining equanimous in gain and loss, in pain and pleasure. Sukha dukkhe same kritva, labha labhau jaya jayau, jaya ajayau. Success, jaya means success, we succeed in something. Ajaya means we fail in something. You win some, you lose some, as they say. Therefore, the solution is to remain, accept everything calmly, to remain equanimous and remain firm, anchored in the self, in the divine wittiness. That is the instruction that Shankaracharya has given. Prarabdham tiha bujyatam. There is no other way. No one has been able to engineer his or her life from the beginning of mankind, so that all events are in his favor. No one has been able to do that. No matter how powerful, monarch, king, richest person, always it is a mixture of good and bad in everybody's life. Therefore, the trick is to remain calm and unperturbed. Accept everything calmly. One good thing is things change. It's a good thing if bad thing changes into a good situation. It is a bad thing if the other way happens. But things change. Nobody can stop the change. So that is the instruction. Prarabdham teha bujyatam. The same thing has been said nicely by Swami Vivekananda in his song of Sannyasin. There's one stanza where Swamiji writes, "Heed then no more how body lives or goes. Its task is done." Its task is the mission, the reason why we have been given this human birth, the precious gift of human life, is so that we can use it to realize our divine nature. Once that has been done, whatever happens to the body is of no concern to us. Once you have used the boat to cross the river and then continue your journey, then you leave the boat there. Don't worry about what happens, who uses it next, or what happens, where it goes. No need to worry about those things. Heed then no more how body lives or goes. Its task is done. Let karma float it down. Parabdha will continue to act. Let karma float it down. Let one put garlands on, another kick this frame, say not. That's the nature of the world. No matter what we do, somebody praises us, somebody praises us, somebody blames us. For the same thing. You cannot do anything about it. The best thing is to remain calm, accept both. Let one put garlands on, another kick this frame, say not. No praise or blame can be where praiser praised and blamer blamed are one. Thus be thou calm, Sannyasin bold, say Om Tat Sat Om. So this 39th instruction is to accept the effect of prarabdha karma, some good, some bad. Prarabdha is not always bad. Good karma is also prarabdha karma. Whatever comes, accept it calmly, remain equanimous, and practice forbearance. That is the 39th instruction. Now we go to the last instruction, 40th instruction. Atha parabrahmatmanasthiyatam. Remain always absorbed in the Supreme Self. A similar instruction had come earlier also. The instruction is similar to an earlier instruction, number 21. Brahmasmiti vibhavyatam aharaha. Aharaha means day and night. Brahma asmiti vibhavyatam. Always maintain the position, take the position day and night, that I am the divine element present within me. I have nothing to do with the body and the mind. These are all outward, outermost coverings, appendages to my personality, which in truth is the divine. The divine element present within me, that is my true identity. And these other things, they come and go, they change all the time. So I'm not going to pay much attention to it. Taking that position, remaining firmly anchored in the self within, in the divine within, we should practice that attitude day and night. Aharaha Brahma Asmi Iti Vibhavyatam. This is a very famous Mahavakya. The Upanishads have four Mahavakyas. Mahavakya means a great sentence. Mahat means great. Vakya means a sentence. There are four great sentences have been chosen from the sum total of all Upanishadic literature as expressing the gist of the teachings of all Upanishads. All Vedantic teaching has been captured in four short sentences, each containing two or three words only. One of them is Aham Brahmasmi. I am that ultimate reality present within me. I am not the body and the mind. That is the first Mahavakya. Taking that as the basis for our thinking, for our life in general, we should practice that attitude that I am the divine. Nothing can touch it. It does not have birth. It does not have death. It does not undergo any of the changes. Is always Satchidananda, absorbed in absolute bliss. I am that. Taking that position and remaining equanimous under all circumstances. That is this 40th instruction. Brahmata parabrahmatmanasthiyatam. If one achieves this state of absorption, even in the last moment of one's life, one reaches the supreme goal of liberation upon leaving the body. This is a very important instruction given at the very end of the second chapter of the Gita. Many people believe that the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita contains the gist of the whole Gita. Everything has come in it. Whatever is going to be elaborated in detail in the subsequent chapters has already been introduced in the second chapter. You have Karma Yoga there, you have Jnana Yoga, everything is there. There Sri Krishna says towards the very end, Esha Brahmi Stiti Partha. Brahmi Stiti means, Stiti means the status of the mind, the state of the mind. Stiti means position or state. Brahmi Stiti means my mind must be fully absorbed in Brahman consciousness, to put it in a dualistic way, in God consciousness. Thinking about God and thinking about nothing else at all at the last moment of our lives. We have spent enough time so far in our lives thinking about all kinds of things, worldly things. We can reduce that gradually and think more and more about the divine element present within us, within all. This is called Brahmi Stiti by Sri Krishna in the Gita. Esha Brahmi Stiti Partha. This state of total absorption in Brahman, in the ultimate reality present within us all, is called Brahmi Stiti Partha. Enam Prapena Vimohyati. Once we reach the experience that Brahmi Stiti, There is no coming back to the domain of ignorance again. It's a one-way traffic. You check into the domain of Brahman, you don't check out back into the world of limitations and suffering. Asyam sthitva antakalepi. Even at the last moment, antakala means at the last moment of our lives, if you catch a glimpse of that ultimate reality, that takes us to the ultimate goal. Sitva syamanta kalepi brahma nirvanam richati. This is the ultimate goal. If one is absorbed in the Supreme Self, one's mind remains unperturbed even in the midst of worldly disturbances, just as an ocean remains unperturbed in spite of many rivers flowing into it. This also is at the very end of the second chapter of the Gita. Two verses. Shankaracharya's 40th instruction contains the gist of the last two verses in the second chapter of the Gita. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapaha pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashanti mapnoti nakamakami. Just like an ocean, a vast expanse of water remains completely unperturbed, no matter how many rivers empty their waters, large quantities of water. About 24 hours, rivers are emptying their waters into the ocean. The ocean does not complain. Why so much water is coming to me? There is no word of complaint from it. It remains absolutely calm and unperturbed. In the same way, should be the mind of the yogi, the Vedantin. No matter how many impulses and stimuli come to us from the outside world, some good, some bad, some pleasant, some unpleasant, we should remain calm like the ocean. Some people say good things about us, some people say bad things about us, sometimes pain comes, sometimes pleasure comes, sometimes gain, sometimes loss. Whatever comes, I remain completely unperturbed, just like the ocean remains unperturbed no matter how many rivers come and join the ocean. That nice simile comes in the Chandogya Upanishad, in the Mundaka Upanishad also, which you are studying Wednesday morning, Wednesday evenings. As many rivers, so many rivers come and empty themselves into the ocean, giving up their individual identities, names and forms, the ocean remains unperturbed. So that is the 40th instruction. Most of the time, if not all of the time, the time of ordinary people is spent in worldly matters, worldly concerns. In his Viveka Chodamani, Shankara has listed three common preoccupations of people which are obstacles to our spiritual life. Three things that we do, three ways in which we use our mind, none of them relates to the divine. One is called lokavasana. Lokavasana means worldly matters. What everybody else is doing, what is happening in some other country, what's happening in some other planet or galaxy. There was a news item that in exactly 4 billion years from now, our Milky Way galaxy is going to collide and merge with the Andromeda galaxy, which is next to us. So worrying about what is going to happen 4 billion years from now is not going to do any good to us. Lokavasana, what other people are doing, gossiping, celebrity gossip, sports and politics, and we know all those things. Lokavasanaya, vasana. And then second thing is dehavasana, preoccupation with the body and our comfort. What dress to wear, what food to eat, of what food to eat, where to live, and what work to do, all those things. Dehavasana. And if any time is left, third thing is shastravasana, scholarly pursuit of the scriptures without practicing what the scriptures ask us to do. That is what Shankara said in the very beginning, the first instruction. First two instruction was study the scriptures, especially the Upanishads, but don't stop there. Put into practice the instructions given in the scriptures. That is when the result will come. Simply studying the scriptures, memorizing the shlokas, that does not do anything, except it brings some pride, vanity, oh, they know all these things. Narada also in his devotional aphorism said the same thing. Narada's devotional aphorisms, which you studied earlier in the weekday evening classes, Narada said, Bhakti Shastrani Manani Yani. He emphasized devotional scriptures. Shankara emphasizes Veda, Upanishads. But scriptures. Bhakti Shastrani Manani Yani. Manana means reflection. Not simply reading, but reflecting on what we read. Then don't stop there. Narada says, in the same aphorism, Tadudbhodaka karmani karaniyani. Whatever instructions are contained in the devotional scriptures, like taking the name of God and worshipping, doing all work as his worship of God, all those instructions are contained in the devotional scriptures. Karaniyani, karmani karaniyani. Those have to be put into practice. Otherwise, simply reading the scriptures without putting into practice the instructions given therein will not produce any useful result. It is just like reading the recipe book over and over again and then not doing anything, not even going to the kitchen, but memorizing the recipes in English and French also. So you become master in repeating the recipes. But where is the dish? Where is the cake? We have to read the recipe, all right. We have to know what to ingredients to acquire and what to do. Then we have to keep the recipe aside and follow the instructions given therein. Then we have some product. So same thing Shankara says. We have to study the scriptures. But study of scriptures is not the goal. It's not the end. It's only a means to know what we have to do. What kind of spiritual practice we have to do. Otherwise, it will be simply not very useful, waste of time. Dehavasana, Shastravasana, Lokavasana. We spend all our time in these three things. Therefore, we have no time to think about the divine present within us. So what is to be done? What is the solution? In the Vekshuramani, Shankara gives an instruction. Give up these three things, he says. Lokanivartanam tyaktva. Tyaktva means giving up. Tyaktva, lokanivartanam. Giving up all unnecessary preoccupation with worldly matters. What other people are doing, what's happening someplace else. Celebrity gossip, sports gossip, NBA Eastern Conference semi-finals last night, or finals, Eastern Conference finals last night. Miami Heat won. So, that kind of, too much spending time with that kind of activity, lokanivartanam tyaktva, giving up too much preoccupation with worldly activities, dehanivartanam tyaktva, too much preoccupation with the body and its needs, its comfort, that also is a distraction in spiritual life. Tyaktva, shastranivartanam tyaktva, too much study of, scholarly study of scriptures, not with a view to practicing anything, but simply as a exercise in dry scholarship. Sri Ramakrishna also gave the same instruction. What is the use of studying the scriptures for the sake of scholarship? It will only bring some fame, maybe some reward, but it will not bring anything else. Any no lasting result will come. Pride will come, that is all. He mentioned a parable. Somebody sends a message to your friend in another town on a piece of paper. Please send one share of sandesh and one pair of wearing cloth for some ceremony. And the person who received the piece of paper should actually implement that. Go to the market, purchase one share of sandesh and one pair of wearing cloth and send it through somebody going to that village. Instead of doing that, the person simply keeps on reading it every day, adding om to it, om, send one share of sandesh and one pair of wearing cloth, om, 108 times with the rosary, and does not go to the market, doesn't bring anything. So what is the use? Reading scriptures again and again without putting into practice any of the instructions given in the scriptures is the same futility, exercise in futility. That should not be done. Therefore, we should constantly practice awareness of the divine within us. So Shankara's 40th instruction is Ataparat Brahmatmanasthiyatam. Therefore, always remain absorbed in the divine present within us. That brings us to the end of the 40th instruction, the last instruction. Now this study we began quite some time ago. The first lecture on Sadhana Panchakam, there have been 19 lectures. This is 19th one. The first one was on January 8, 2011, almost exactly 1.5 years have passed, and total of 40 instructions in 8 verses. Most of these instructions, most of the 40 instructions, emphasize the practice of Jnana Yoga, or what is called the path of knowledge, the path of inquiry. But some of them also emphasize devotional spiritual practices. For example, the 10th instruction, Bhagavato Bhaktir Dhrada Dhiyatam, Shankaracharya says, cultivate strong, pure devotion to God. Bhagavato Dhrada Bhakti Adhiyatam, cultivate pure devotion to God. He does not always speak about Jnana Yoga, path of inquiry and knowledge, but he also talks about devotional path. He is famous for his composition of many very beautiful devotional hymns, which people chant every day. Bhagavato Bhaktir Dhradadhyaya, that is the 10th instruction, cultivate pure devotion to God. Sri Ramakrishna, that was the main teaching. First cultivate love for God, and then you can live in the world freely. The main goal of life, according to Sri Ramakrishna, is to cultivate love for God. Once we have love for God, everything else will come. We have to seek true love for God, then other things will follow by themselves. Instead of that, we go for the other things first and leave aside the main goal of cultivating love for God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these shall be added unto you. First we have to seek the kingdom of God. We have to know God. We have to cultivate pure love for God. Then other things will follow as a matter of course. We do the opposite. We leave aside the main goal of cultivating love for God, and we pursue our activities in the world. Another instruction that Shankara gives is the 13th instruction, Sadvidvan Upasrapyatam. Sadvidvan means a Sadguru, an illumined teacher has to be approached. The importance of a teacher is emphasized in the scriptures, in the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita. In the Mundaka Upanishad, the Rishi says, Mundaka Upanishad is what is being studied. Atmajnananji is teaching it Wednesday evenings. There he says, Parikshalokan Karmachitan Brahmanaha Nirvedamayat. One should first of all objectively and critically examine how much happiness we can get from pursuing worldly matters. By pursuing wealth and fame and youth and beauty and all those things, position, power, fame, etc., how much happiness will come? Eventually, everything will change. Ma kuru dhana jana yavana garuvam harati nimeshat kalasarvam. In the twinkling of an eye, all these things will disappear. They are not lasting. For a moment they are there, and when you become dependent on them, they disappear, leaving us disillusioned. That is not the right way to seek happiness. The right way to seek happiness, lasting peace and joy, that is unconditional, undiminishing, is to go within and know the divine present within us. Therefore, Shankara says, in order to do this, approach an illumined teacher. Gurumeva abhigachet Srotriyam Brahmanishtam. How to approach a teacher is also mentioned in the scriptures. In the Upanishad it says, Samit Panihi, holding a bunch of dry twigs. Because in those days, in the teacher's household, which were used to be the residential school, the daily practice was to do fire ceremony morning and evening. For that fire ceremony, dry twigs of Ashwatha peepal tree are used. Therefore, the prospective student has to carry a bunch of dry twigs in his hand when seeking admission to the teacher's residential school, thereby indicating willingness to serve. In the Gita also, 4th chapter, Sri Krishna says, when we approach a teacher, we have to do three things. Tadvidhi, know that ultimate reality. First, pranipatena. Pranipata means doing sashtang pranam, full prostration, indicating humility and surrender. Pariprashnena, by inquiring into the nature of reality. Sevaya, by doing personal service to the teacher. Then the teacher will impart that knowledge to us. Then, when we approach such a teacher, Shankara says in the next 14th instruction, Pratidinam tatpaduka sevyatam. Every day we have to render service to that teacher. Some of those are devotional type of instructions. Then, Karma Yoga is also not excluded in Shankara's instructions. For example, in the second instruction, Taduditam karma svanushtiyatam. When you study the scriptures, we have to put into practice in our daily lives the instructions given in the scriptures. Third instruction, tene shasya vidhiyatam apachitihi. We have to do all the work that we do as worship of the divine. That is one teaching that Sri Krishna emphasizes again and again in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, whatever work you do, do it as an offering to me, do it as my worship. Svakarmana tam abhyarcha. By svakarma means our respective duties. For everybody, duties are different and they change with time. By doing our respective duties as archana, as worship, we rise to the highest level of perfection. So Shankara says same thing. Tene shasya vidhiyatam apachitena means karmana. By doing our swakarma, our respective duties as worship, we rise to the highest level of perfection. Fourth instruction, kamye matisthyajyatam. Kamya karma means certain types of activities which are done with a selfish motive. Certain types of worship also can come under the category of kamya karma. If you worship God for expressing our love for God without seeking anything from Him, then it is pure worship, pure devotion, expression of pure devotion. But if you put conditions, I do your worship this way and you must give these following things to me, that is kamya karma. Shankara says, give up that kamya karma. This instruction is familiar to us. This instruction to give up kamya karma, selfish kind of worship, selfish kind of activities, is already familiar to us from the Bhagavad Gita. There Sri Krishna very clearly, unequivocally says, kamyanam karmanam nyasam, giving up all kamya karma, all selfish activities. Whatever activity we do, we should do it with an unselfish motive. I am doing this work. May the Lord give me the strength and wisdom to do it right. May good happen to everybody by this work. In that everybody, of course, I am included too. If I am doing some activity, if I am speaking with the idea that it should benefit everybody in this room, then I am also present in the room. I will also be benefited. So I should not say, for my benefit I am doing it. I am doing it by the grace of God, not because of me or anything. By the grace of God, may good happen from this work, humble work that I am doing. With an unselfish motive, we have to do all our work. As worship, we have to do all our work. Then there are some general instructions. Papauga paridhu yatam, this instruction number 5. Wash out all your sins. In the Gita, we are told how to do this one. Sri Krishna gives three methods to purify our mind, rid our mind of all unhelpful past impressions which we have accumulated over a period of time. How to do three things? Yajna, Dana, Tapa. In the 18th chapter of the Gita, Sri Krishna says three things should never be given up. Yajna, Dana, Tapas. Yajna means doing all work as sacrifice. Dana means charity with an unselfish motive, without seeking fame or visibility. Tapas means some kind of austerity. Repeating God's name is the best kind of tapas. Sangat sat su vidhiyatam, 9th instruction. Seek holy company. Sri Ramakrishna emphasized often the importance of holy company. It helps us to cultivate dispassion, to purify our mind, and give our whole life a spiritual orientation. Holy company. Shankara says same thing. Sangat sat su vidhiyatam, buddha janair vada parityajyatam. Vada means fruitless argument. With other people, we should not engage in fruitless argumentation because it is merely a waste of time and energy. Natu vritha vakyam samacharyatam. Vritha vakya means useless talk. All kinds of gossip, useless talk should be stopped because it is simply a waste of time and energy. Not only that, useless talk pollutes our mind and puts all kinds of unwanted impressions into our mind. So like this, there are many general instructions, and the main thrust in these 40 instructions is the practice of dispassion and renunciation. In one of the instructions, Shankara says, Nijagrahat turnim minirgam yatam. Nijagrahat, from one's own house, turnam means quickly, minirgam yatam. One has to run away. How to understand this instruction? Run away from your own home. Nijagrahat turanam means quickly, vinirgamyatam, run away from your own home. What does it mean? We talked about it at length some time ago. What we consider our home is not our real home. Where is our real home? The first devotional song that Shukladi and Yivadi, other people sang, Mana chalo nija niketane, O my mind, go back to your own abode. You are wandering fruitlessly in this strange land of this world. Our true abode, our true home is the divine within us. There we have to go back. Go back to Godhead. Otherwise, we are wasting our time in the world looking for this and that. Just like the second bird in the Mundaka Upanishad, lower bird in the tree, which is trying to find fruit, sweet fruits only, but often encounters bitter fruits also. We are wasting our time. We go back to our own abode. This is what Swamiji also said. Have thou no home? What home can hold thee, friend? The sky thy roof, the grass thy bed, and food what chance may bring. Well cooked or ill, judge not. No food or drink can taint that noble self which knows itself. Like rolling river free thou ever be. Sannyasin bold, say Om Tat Sat Om. We have thus completed the study of the 40 instructions in Sadhana Panchakam. You have been very patient, listen to me all these 19 hours of 19 Sunday talks. This whole text is only one page long. This is all the text. Though it took so long to study five stanzas and about four lines in each, 20 lines, that's all the text. This text you can find in our website, vedantadc.org, and I have a few copies. If you want, I can give you some copies. I'll say the closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pasyantu Makaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet Om Shanti 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 Om. May all be happy. May all be free from afflictions. May all realize what is auspicious. May no one be subject to misery. Om peace. May there be peace and joy in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. And may there be peace everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.